Open to Hebrews 3:15. This is for us today. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. And when we come together as a body, and when we are surrendered and when we're submitted to Him, and you know, there's been prayer for this particular time right now. We're together here, and this time has been prayed for. And so, I, for one, and I know a lot of you also, I'm trusting God. I believe Him that He will deal with you and He will deal with me today in a special way as we come together. So, that's what I'm asking you is the things that God tells us generally are things that we don't necessarily really want to hear. Because it goes against self. And I'm going to talk today a little bit, we'll get to it, about that struggle that we all go through to trust God. But don't turn God away today. I don't care how many times you failed. I don't care if every day you fail and you don't trust God. Don't turn Him away today. He desires to communicate to you today. So, listen to Him. And as Randy shared, Satan will he'll fool you. And He'll convince you nothing was said. And when you walk out the door, what God spoke to you about this morning is going to try to fade away. He may have already, in fact, I'm sure He's already spoken to you today if you're listening. So do not let the enemy take from you what God has given to you. And I don't care how many times you failed or how many times you have not followed through. He promises to strengthen you if you'll put your trust in Him. He promises to strengthen you, and He promises to give you rest. Boy, that attracts me. That just attracts me. He promises to give you rest. And, you know, recently, I've just felt that I was doing all I could do, and it wasn't enough. I felt that way for about 3 weeks. And maybe you've noticed it in me, I don't know, but I've just had a little bit of anxiousness off and on, to where I'm not getting enough stuff crossed off my list. And some of us, men, that we've been busy and there's been a lot going on with Caleb, and we're finding out there's a lot more we need to do with Caleb as far as investment in him. And so it's challenging. But I'm just not crossing off enough stuff on my list, I think, has been my attitude. And I see it. It's almost like I see this wave coming. I see it coming. It's anxiousness. It's a little bit of stress. I see it coming. So what do I do when I see it coming? Instead of just stopping and saying, God, I'm resting in You. I'm trusting You. You know, instead of doing that, what I've been doing, I've been just doubling my efforts. Just work a little harder. Work a little longer. Get a little more done. Try a little harder. Instead of just trusting God. Instead of resting in Him. And we do that. I don't know why, but that's what we do. But resting in Him, this is where we started the Christian life. This is where we all started. If we're a Christian, we started in completely trusting Him and not ourselves. And if we're going to have joy and peace and growing intimacy with God, we have to go back to that same thing. And this has been my prayer. You know what? Today, I was praying this morning, and I wanted to pray for revival for each one of you. I mean, a radical change. But I felt like I wasn't ready to pray for that. So you know what? I just prayed He would prepare your hearts and prepare my heart for revival. He would soften our hearts. I don't know why, but that's been my prayer. So, that's my prayer for you today. And it may have to do with this. But we have to go back to that place of resting completely in Him, not in what we can do, not in our own strength. That's where we started, and that's where we have to stay. If we're going to be useful to God, if we're going to have peace, if we're going to have joy, and if we're going to have intimacy with Him. So let's go to Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish, after beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? So how did we start this Christian life? How did we start it? Let's go to Galatians 2:16. Know that a man is not justified, is declared righteous, acceptable to God. A man is not declared righteous by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. We know this, we know it, in our head, we know it, but we still try to make ourselves acceptable to God by what we do. Ephesians 2:8, we won't go there, but it says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, that no one should boast. Every religion in the world, except Christianity, is about making yourself acceptable to God. You think about it. Think through every religion you're familiar with, every religion you've heard about, it's about making yourself, and even some brands of Christianity. It's about, and I'm serious about that, a lot of brands of Christianity. It's about making yourself acceptable to God. We all want God. I think everybody on the face of the earth wants God. But we also want to contribute something. And the source of that is pride and independence. So no matter how it's disguised in religion or whatever, it's not about what we can do. Not just in coming to God, but in living for Him. Let's go to Galatians 3:6. Consider Abraham, who's been brought up a lot today. Oh, Abraham, lesson 7, firm foundation. Consider Abraham, right, Randy? He's taught it about 3 times. Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. I quote that verse to myself all the time. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. I believe that. I believe you, God. I have righteousness. And when I believe Him, when I trust Him, it shows up in my life. We've been given righteousness. We're a new creation. We've been identified with Christ with His death, burial, and resurrection. We have a new life. Christ lives in me. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. It's about us receiving. It's about us receiving from God. That sounds selfish. But God doesn't want us getting the wrong idea. He doesn't want us thinking we're doing any of this on our own. It's all about receiving from Him. Even our labor and our work is about receiving from Him and just letting it flow on through. But now this could be, tell you, this could be misconstrued. This is not easy believism or superficial gospel, as someone might accuse. This is not about us being in a state of just being out of step with God, and that Christ's death has atoned for us, and that we need to have restored fellowship so we can, with the help of God, we can carry on and live with Him, live for Him. That's not it at all. We deserve death. And it's about being identified with the death of Christ and Christ living His life through us. Anything else, anything less, is half the gospel. And it's about the old nature manifesting itself through religion. Let me read a quote here from Norman Grubb. Do we not need to reorient our gospel message and tell non-Christians that we are not bringing them a panacea? Is that the way you say it? Panacea? For happier living or future security. We are bringing them a total revolution, a life which is nothing less than God Himself living in them through radical replacement effected by Christ crucified and risen, with all the radical consequences which flow from a Christ-centered in place of self-centered life. It is by no means merely the non-Christians who need to become Christians. I don't know if you caught all that. It is a radical transformation to go from being controlled by self to being controlled by God. It is a radical transformation. The consequences of that are a radical change in how we live. The result of that is that we are changed radically. We all know at the heart of this gospel is that substitutional sacrifice is the only deliverance from the wrath to come. And that sacrifice was the Lamb of God. And us accepting this by faith. I know I'm going back to the basics here. But we have to continue to go back to this. It's the way we came to know God was by faith, accepting that Jesus was our substitute. He died in our place. And He will live His life through us. A gospel that just removes guilt and penalty falls short of its purpose. We are to be the dwelling place of God. And God on the throne. And us dependent and resting in Him. Resting in Him. Completely dependent upon Him. Him living His life through us. There are two extremes that seem to happen in Christianity. One is a self-effort. It's all about trying to live a holy life and trying to be good and trying to do things and trying to change our lives ourselves. And there's the other of just saying, I can't do it. There's no use. I'm just going to skate. I'm just going to get by. But neither one of those is where God wants us. Let's talk about where He wants us, and that is resting in Him. And I have been reminding myself of this all week long. Every time I see that wave coming, I'm going, nope. I'm gonna rest in You, Lord. You know, I hope you know it. I can feel it. You know, I can feel this like kind of stress. It's like the stoplight's lasting too long. You know, I just feel a little irritability coming on. I can, you know, it's just that familiar. I see it coming, and I'm not getting enough done. I see that wave coming. And I've been going, no, I'm just resting in You, Lord. I'm dependent on You. I have no strength. I can't do, you know, you could stop it all. It could all fall apart. I could have a heart attack. I could get cancer, right? Anything could happen. And so it's not up to me. I'm resting in You. Let's go to Hebrews 4, 9 through 11. You know, there is so much failure in this area. But there does not have to be. We can rest in Him and have peace. 4 through 9. Is that right? Yeah, no, 9 through 11. Sorry. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from His. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. This, you know, so many people ask why we don't still have the Sabbath. And it's tried to be instituted in the church where the Sunday is a Sabbath and we have all these rules about what we can do and can't do on Sunday. The Sabbath in the Old Testament was a picture of what our whole life was to be like. The Sabbath was a day where the things of the world were set aside and there was a complete focus on God. And He was at the center of their attention, the Israelites. And it was just a picture of what salvation was going to be like. Resting in Him, depending on Him. Let's go to Psalm 62. And it says 1 through 5. Let's read 1 and 2 and 5 and 6. Psalm 62. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Verse 5. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. God has declared that the only real rest and joy is in Him alone. That is the only source of our rest, our real joy and rest. And to get there, surrender and trust are foundational to resting. Surrender and trust are foundational to that resting. But let's keep going. I think we'll get a fuller understanding of this. Exodus 33:14. The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you. I will give you rest." Now, Moses is about to undertake the biggest job anybody's ever received that I know about. But he's going to have rest. He's going to have rest. God is going to give him, if he maintains that presence of God. If he just walks in surrender to Him. If he's in submission to God, he will have that rest. Now, we talked about this idea when we were talking about prayer. We talked about this idea of stopping and praying. About being in the Word, hearing from God, praying, seeking, setting aside a time. And that's critical to what we're talking about today. You need to be applying that to really get the most out of this. That is a springboard for this. Getting along with God, hearing from Him and His Word, praying. But this is something else again. This is a true resting on, or you could even say in Christ, and abiding in Him. Now, what I've seen is that people take a shortcut to this resting in Christ. And generally people do this that do not have regular quiet time. Is that people will do the self-talk thing. Well, they'll say, okay, it's almost psychology where I'm just resting in God, I'm resting in Him. They're psyching themselves out rather than really being in a place where they can truly rest in God. It's just self-talk. Unless we really are focused on Him and depending on Him. Or the other thing could be, like I said before, we can just say, I'll just double my efforts instead of resting in Him. I thought about a comparison to this is, I think some of y'all know my old bobsled coach was in town, and he always gives me a hard time about something. And so the first thing he asked me when he got off the plane was, "You been running marathons?" In other words, "You're skinny, Steve." And the other thing he always says to me is, you get from point A to point B as fast as just about anybody I know. But you do not look pretty getting there. Your form is terrible." Because I used to kind of claw the air before he taught me how to run. And that works okay for 30 meters. But if you're going to run the 100 or the 200 or the 400, I used to run the 400 some too. And I just, some of these guys would just run and they'd get through and then they'd just be carrying a conversation. And I'd be over behind the tree. Because I'd work so hard and put forth so much effort to run that thing. But there were some guys that could run. Have you seen that? That's just that. Their feet are just barely, they're not even trying, it looks like. Their feet are barely touching the ground. But I'll get too much into this, I know. But when I was in high school, there was a guy that ran, it was 100 yards back then, in 9.2. That'd be like a 10, 200 meters, if you don't know that. That was world class. As to tie the world record at the time. And he was running the 200, and I was standing on the corner, and he came, I tell you, it looked like his feet were not touching the ground. He was so, and his jaw's just shaking, you know. He's just relaxed, all out. And just, he looked like he was not even trying. That kind of is akin. This is resting, is not kicked back on the couch, drinking iced tea and watching TV. But it's just trusting in God. It's resting in Him. It's the same thing of the sprinter. We've talked about this before. Being in the blocks and being sober-minded, where there's just alertness, but there's not a tenseness. There's just this alertness that's ready to hear. And that's similar to our attitude in God. Well, we're resting Him. It's not we're like doing nothing, but we're just resting, trusting, relying on Him. It's, as Carlton was talking about, it's really, it boils down to surrender. But, you know, our primary struggle is not to, we talked about the being yoked together with Christ. Our primary struggle is not being in the yoke. Our primary struggle is resisting entering the rest. Let's go to Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Our struggle is not being yoked and pulling the load with Christ, because He's the one pulling the load. Our struggle is resisting getting into the yoke. That's where our struggle lies. It's that thing of, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. It's the secret to the rest we seek. Entire surrender to Jesus and reliance on Him. It's giving up our whole life to Him. For Him alone to rule and to order. It is submitting to be taught and led by Him. Not just in a general way, but in every single situation. It's submitting to Him. To do what He wills. To do what pleases Him. This is what it takes to maintain the rest that we had upon first coming to Jesus. It's the only way that we can really have rest, the peace and joy of rest. There's not a spot in our entire life that He does not wish to reign in. Does that scare you? There's not one spot in your entire life that Jesus does not desire and have the right to reign in. And when we rest in Him and trust Him and rely on Him, no matter how things look, no matter what our abilities are, then we will bear fruit and enjoy His presence. And we'll rest in Him. That is such a relief to me. That is such a relief to me. What puts us in a strain is resisting the yoke. It's not being in the yoke. We have to continually remember that when we're struggling and straining with that, we're probably resisting Him. We're resisting the yoke. Now, I'm not condemning you for that. I'm not. That's a struggle we have to go through. But recognize it for what it is. We need to stop and rest in Him. It's not this one-time thing that we get to the promised land and then it's smooth sailing. It's easy from here on out. Don't look to get to that place. It's, I'm going to trust Him right now. Right now. I'm going to give myself completely to Him, and I'm going to trust Him in this situation. I'm going to trust Him in this next thing that comes up. We stop and rest and depend on Him. Do you find yourself critical? Stop and say, I'm resting in you, Lord. I'm going to depend on you. Are you angry? Rest in Him. I'm resting in you, Lord. I'm trusting you for this. Do you not want to do what pleases God? You know what pleases Him. You know what will please Him, but you're resisting it. You're just going to torment yourself. Just rest in Him. And He'll give you the strength to do what He's asking of you. Do you find yourself wanting to just live for yourself? We want to make our own decisions. Do you find yourself not able to forgive? But what a relief when you rest in Him. I think that I'll have rest when I get through my whole list. But you know, it's like painting the Golden Gate Bridge. You know, I've heard they paint that thing when they start at one end. By the time they get the other end, they got to start all over and start painting again. When you get to the bottom, you don't get to the bottom of your list. I'll never get to the bottom of my list because I keep adding things to it. So that's not when I'm going to find rest, when I accomplish everything that I want to accomplish. I'll find rest today, right now. Right now, when I rest in Him. And I put my trust in Him. And I think that this is the preparation for revival. If you don't see this as costly, then you may not be looking at it honestly. It's challenging and it's a struggle to rest in Him. We resist it naturally. But if we will rest in Him, then I think we will be prepared for the changes, for the radical changes that God wants to work in us. You know, I know people that have gone this route of kind of something different. This thing of pride and trying to live a holy life where everybody around them thinks that that person is living great and doing great, but the people that really know them know different. They know it's all self-effort. You know, I can, when I'm trusting God, when I'm resting in Him, I can sense, I can feel the effect I'm having on another person sometimes. It's like this little window opens. I don't always, but sometimes I can, and I'm going, that's not me. That's not me. I'm just resting in Him. But this is, and I also feel that when other people are having this impact on me. And it's like, I'm going, I hope I do that for other people. I'm going, I hope people see this in me. But none of this works while hanging on to self and maintaining control. But don't let this discourage you. It takes time to learn this resting in Him. We just got to keep going back to it. Every time we fail, we have to go back and say, no, Lord, I'm resting in You. I'm depending on You. I can't. I don't have the strength. But I'm going to rest in You. This is relief. This is good news. It's just that we resist this good news because we want to hang on to our old self. But there is such a difference in resting in Christ and living in my own strength. We find it difficult, but this is a relief. It's a relief to me. And I think it, I hope it is to you too. So, if God is speaking to you about any of the things that we've talked about or that anybody has talked about today, and I believe that He is speaking to us today, then just before we jump up and leave, Josh is going to put a CD on. And don't let those things leave you. Write them down. Think about them. Talk to God about them. Let me read this quote. I know a lot of you, probably it's hard to get this, reading something like this, but I'll read it to you one more time, this quote from Norman Grubb. Do we not need to reorient our gospel message and tell non-Christians that we are not bringing them a panacea for happier living or future security? We are bringing them a total revolution, a life which is nothing less than God Himself living in them through the radical replacement effected by Christ crucified and risen, and with all the radical consequences which will follow from a Christ-centered in place of a self-centered life. Every single little area of your life, every decision, He wants you to rest in Him, to rely on Him. And He promises to strengthen you and to guide you and to give you rest in His presence.